Amen. Has the Lord been good to you this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord has been so, so very good. And I know He has to me. He has saved me over 20 years ago. And He has put my feet on a solid rock and established my goings. And hasn't always been a smooth going, but it has definitely been a guided going. It has definitely been a protected going. And it has been a good going. We serve a good God this morning. So good to be here. So good to see everybody. And welcome to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs on this lovely Sunday morning. Looks like some sun's trying to peep in through the window. And but I'm glad the S-O-N is always shining in our hearts and in our lives. And today's a special day. Today is graduation Sunday. And we have some who have graduated high school and college, and we're just so very thankful and proud of them and thankful for what they've achieved. And we're going to honor them here in just a few moments after our music time and before the preaching time. We will honor our graduates, but so we'll be doing that this morning. I do want to mention this, that the CLU will be this afternoon from four to five. Change of time. Newsflash. Changing of the time. Four to five CLU. And at the same time, from four to five, we're going to have a men's prayer meeting. And we're going to get together. We're going to pray for the church. We're going to pray just for what God may have for us, and to give us strength and energy, the spirit of second mile in our hearts, that kind of thing. So we're looking forward to that. I've been announcing it probably about a week. It really hasn't been out there for long. So if you can't make that, men, because of the short notice, that is totally fine. But we'd like to have that if we could from 4 to 5. No choir practice today. No choir. Okay, we have a... they will get together and work out something for tonight, but no choir practice. And that's the way that this Sunday is working out to be. And so just remember that. I'll just get the announcements done first, and then we'll drop back and do some prayer requests. But on Thursday at 1 o'clock, that will be our OCC Operation Christmas Child kickoff in the fellowship hall. We're so very excited about that. Cassie's not a bit excited about it. So, you know. But we're going to have to get her pumped up somehow. But appreciate Miss Cassie and her passion and her drive, and everybody that's been working to make this possible. We really want to make add to our Christmas time around here by sending over as many boxes as we can to needy children all across the land, actually, to tell them about the gospel, to give them gifts. And so we will be working, kicking that off, at least talking about it. On Thursday at 1 o'clock, remember that. I want to have an outreach on the 24th on Saturday. This would be to hand out invitations to our movie night, to invite people to church, to share the gospel. Primarily, it'll be this time. It'll be just a brief outreach. I like to go to the skate park. There's a basketball court in the back, and just, I don't want to say tag all those cars, but, you know, leave some tracks, some invitations on the cars if we could, if they permit us to do that. And just trying to make a little effort. The week leading up to that, which is this week actually, I believe, I will be out in the community, and I'll make some posts in some gas stations and places of business as they would allow us to. So doing that, saying that, the 31st, Saturday, is our movie night at 7 o'clock. We'll be outside, and we do need more help. If you'd like to be involved with that, please see Brother Dakota, Sister Brooke, to help out with that. So we got two so far that's helping, but I mean, we got a lot going on with this operation for movie night. We got a screen. We've got, you know, the movie, the projection of the movie, you know, the cooking, all that kind of stuff. So please help out with that. If you can, please see Dakota or Brooke on that. And I do want to say this, that yes, we're having Sunday night service on, trying to read my handwriting here. Anyway, I believe that's the 25th Memorial Day weekend. That Monday is Memorial Day, and so we will be having service that night. I know a lot of people are coming and going, but we will be having service that night. Okay, please remember, if you would, Miss Connie Teague. She was back last Sunday, but she is in AFib, and so she's struggling with that. Miss Lucy Godfrey, she takes care of her sister. Diane Ely, Jim Jr. started therapy. The list goes on and on. But Brother Harold did speak to me this morning about his granddaughter, Anna Kate, and she is hospitalized. She is going through a whole lot right now. We've been praying for her. But let's lift up Anna Kate this morning. And medically, she needs a touch from God. The doctors need direction. The parents need encouragement. And so if we could, just remember Anna Kate in your prayers. All right, there's so much more going on around here, but we'll let you know as the days approach closer to we get to certain events. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen. 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 This is graduation Sunday, so we're proud of our young people. And this Sunday is kind of geared toward that, but it's also for everybody. So let's pray this morning, and we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father God, we love you. We thank you this morning. We praise you for who you are, for what you do, and for what you can do. God, we just yield ourselves. We humble our hearts to your authority. We know that you're in charge. God, we give you first place in our life. We want your blessings to flow. We want to follow you wholly, Father, and be used by you. And so we lift up all these prayer requests, especially this morning we lift up Anna Kate, God, that you'd touch her and that you'd be with the doctors, give them direction, give Anna Kate the health that she is needing, and the fast recovery. Be with the parents, give them encouragement and strength as they go to the hospital and back and they take care of their darling daughter. God, we know how it is with having children and what we feel when they're hurting and not feeling well. God, we just really want you to touch little Anna Kate, and that's our prayer this morning. Several others are on our prayer list. We've called out, and we lift them up to you, Leonard and Dolores Palmer. And Brother Leonard is off all medicine, Lord. He is in your hands. They're in South Carolina and with family. But how we miss the Palmers. They put in years here at Calvary, way before I got here. And God, I just pray for a special kind of comfort this morning for their family, a special touch. I pray that the presence of Jesus would be real in their home, in their amongst their family. And God, that you would touch Brother Leonard and extend his days, God. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed, and you extended his life 15 years. And so, God, it doesn't matter how old somebody is or what the situation looks like or appears to be. We serve a God who is alive and well, who is Jesus has rose from the grave, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Oh, God, this morning, we just bow in humble adoration to the one who created all things, and to the one who came and bled and died, and to the one who's coming back very soon, God. We just want to take a moment to take in this moment. We don't want to rush a prayer. We don't want to rush to service. There's been a lot of accomplishments this year, and we've got some students here this morning that have achieved a lot. We want to celebrate them. We want to take our time and just surround them with love and gratification and support. But Father, we do give you this service right now. And we ask that you be with the music, that you would lead and guide and direct. Be with those that are watching on Facebook, listening on our church page. Be with all things. Lord, we don't want this meeting to go in vain. We want to hear from you. Please show up and please meet with us. We have not met together in vain. We're here for the right reasons, to worship you. So I pray that you'd make it a fruitful time. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
He's coming soon. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Do you believe this morning that God is good?
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
We started out by singing this morning, "Look What God Has Done For You." That's a little gift for all those that are graduating today. If you really look back and you think about the past 12 years or ever how long it's taken you to get here, you would realize that you can look back and say that God has been good.
Amen.
And you can look back and say, "Look what God has done for me. He has brought you to this place," and we're very thankful for that. And it's a day that we celebrate all of your accomplishments for these past years, and we're thankful for it today.
Yes.
But please remember again all the prayer requests today. Remember the announcements. Remember COU at 4, from 4 to 5. Choir will sing immediately following. And then please just remember everything concerning the service today. Pray for Pastor today, and we're looking forward to a great day in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord today. Brother Don Rich, would you take us, Lord, this morning in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to gather this morning in your house. We thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, we know that some are traveling, but if you be with them, Lord, we pray that you convict hearts of those that should be here this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to congregate, to be able to hear your word preached without fear or surprise. We thank you, Lord, for the choir and
all, he's never changed. God. have been times that I've let him down, made my mistakes, and still I have found, though I stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of his hand. He will give grace and help me to stand, and although he knows how worthy I am, God is still good.
Did you enjoy the music this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate the music. Appreciate Brother Allen. Appreciate Brother Dakota and learning the ways of Calvary and jumping in here and being a champ. Man, we appreciate you, brother. All right, we're going to change the service for just a moment to this special occasion of honoring our graduates, and we are so very proud of them. And I believe they actually walked and graduated yesterday at North Cobb Christian, and we were able to join in on the celebration this past Thursday. Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely. We were able to join in this past Thursday over at Children's Home as everyone got together to celebrate these, and again, just so very, very proud of them. And all right, well, we will start it off, and number one we want to honor this morning is Shiloh Cochran, graduate of North Cobb Christian School. We'll be attending She will be attending KSU in the fall, pursuing a business management degree while also looking into some music classes and opportunities. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you. So very proud of you, honey. Okay? So very proud of you. All right. And okay, number two, we have Savannah Mitchell, graduate of North Cobb Christian School. She's planning on to attend Chattahoochee Tech starting with core classes, and then she plans to work to to becoming an ultrasound technician. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So proud of you, Tony. We love you. God bless you. What a blessing. What a blessing. All right. Now, we have our first gentleman of the morning, and that is Elon Duffy, graduate of North Cobb Christian School. Good job, buddy. He's going straight into an electrician internship, apprenticeship program in June. So come on up, Elon, and let us just give you a little blessing, buddy. So proud of you, man. Keep going. You know, we're always here for you. What a blessing. What a blessing. All right. And next we have our second gentleman. That is Alex Byram, graduate of North Cobb Christian School. And let me just say, just married as well. Just married. Woo! All right. Got married this weekend to Marissa Kalminski. Now, Marissa Byram. And starting into the workforce at CMES Construction. Alex, man, we're proud of you, brother. God bless you. And in just a moment, Alex is going to say a few words. He would like to share a few words. We'll give him a moment for that in just one moment. Now we have Mrs. Byram. We have Marissa, formerly Kalminski, graduate of Georgia Connections Academy. Again, just married. Also entering the workforce, working at Montrose Animal Hospital. What a blessing that is. God bless you. We're so proud of you. We love you. Always here for you. And congratulations on your marriage. That's awesome. All right. Now, our last graduate for today is our third gentleman. Would be Kevin Brook, but he's sick this morning, I believe, and not able to be here. But I do want to take a moment to say this: Kevin Brook, graduate of Champion Christian College in Hot Springs, Arkansas, with his bachelor's degree, and of course he's back home here at Calvary for the time being, and so we are praying for God to direct him in his next steps to exactly where God wants him to be. And Kevin, if you're watching this, if you're going to watch this, we love you, appreciate you, we celebrate you. I got you a nice blue card right here from the church, and I know you'll be able to use that here soon. So we are so very proud of you, Kevin. So proud of all of our graduates. Can we give a round of applause for all of them? Good job. You did it. You did it. You overcame the obstacles. You were consistent and dedicated. God walked you through. Support from family and friends. God bless you. All right. Alex, if you'd like to come share a few words, and then we'll change the service. Guys, you can go back to your seats at this time. That'll be fine.
I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of all the graduates for being all of our church homes. For me, it's been 8 years, for some of us longer. And I just want to say thank you for all the support and all the kindness y'all have showed throughout all the years. And amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, buddy. We love you, man. Y'all remember when Alex was this right here? He was this short little guy, all of them. Yeah. And so I know we got I know there's a lot of support and, man, just a lot of joy this morning. So we appreciate all of you this morning. What a blessing. What a blessing. All right. Amen. I remember when LC was a little fella, you know, myself. When we came along, he wasn't as tall as he is now, and we watched him grow up some too. What a blessing LC is getting married. Well, that's the natural course of life, isn't it? Grow up and finish school, and Lord willing, you, God's will, you meet someone, you get married, you know, your careers, and just all of those great things. This is graduation Sunday, and this morning we do have something geared towards our graduates, but on the same token, it's for everybody this morning. And so those watching on Facebook, listening online on our webpage, this is for you too. But this is certainly a very impressionable time, moment, and we just want to take advantage of that and capitalize on that and try to be encouraging and challenging at the same time. If you have your Bibles this morning, please make your way to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. We're also going to be back up in chapter number 11, so you can just hold your place in chapter 11, chapter 12. We're going to look in chapter 11 at verse number 9 and 10, and then we're going to look in chapter 12 to verse number 1. And I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will bring about the message. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do. God, I pray for the next few moments that you'll give me a clear head and a calm heart. God, I fully rely upon you. We want to be a blessing to everyone that's here today, that's out there in the internet world watching and listening. And we want to just get out of the way, Lord, and allow you, Holy Spirit, to connect and speak. So help us to rightly divide your word, rightly apply your word. And Father, we'll just praise you for the things that you're going to do this morning. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes 11 and Ecclesiastes 12 this morning is where we're going to be. But before we read any verses, I want to say that we have Solomon the preacher here. The preacher. You don't have to turn there, but in chapter number 1, in verse 1, the Bible says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, Solomon." We have the preacher that is speaking to the young in these verses. Verse number 9 gives reference to, if you notice that first phrase, "O young man." He mentions the word youth here. Verse number 10, he mentions the words childhood and youth. Chapter 12, he mentions the word youth. He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And so we have the preacher, the teacher, who is speaking to the students. He is speaking to the young people. He is speaking to their youth, their youthful age. Now, he begins giving them words of wisdom, taking them from their young age to their older age, then to even death. He mentions in verse number 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." verse number 2 down through verse number 6 is the progression of age. A lot of parallels here, or a lot of picture imagery here of when someone starts to get old and things not working right anymore. So he says that there's coming a day when you're not going to have pleasure in your age, or you're not going to have pleasure in your days. And then verse number 7, he says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. And so the preacher is taking the students by the hands, giving them words of wisdom, starting in their youthful age and bringing them all the way to the graveyard. This is Solomon, and he is speaking about the now, and he's speaking about the later. So Solomon is pointing our attention to the end, but from the beginning. And I want to say this morning that that is a wise way to approach life, I believe, thinking about the later and how the choices that we make now will affect the later. If there's anything that I want to stress this morning to our graduates, but also to everybody here and that will listen, I want to stress the later. The later. We're living in the now. We have to make decisions now. We have to deal with things now. But as you do that, keep in mind the later, if you would. There's too many people, too many young people, too many middle-aged people, too many older people who are so caught up in the now. They do what feels good now. They're thinking about now and not the consequences that will come later. Too many people do that. There's too many lives that are being ruined, that are ruined, that are devastated because of things that they did early in life, but they're coming up later. They're coming up later. This morning, I want us to just focus on that thought, if we could, for a few moments. I want to preach on the now and the later. The now and the later. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 11 and verse number 9. The Bible says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know, thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Now, I know we have chapter 12 dividing these, but in the flow of the context, it really belongs right here with it. Chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That's going to be our reading verses this morning, our main verses. And I like to share some things from these two chapters that hopefully will be helpful to the graduates, but everyone else that's here. Number one, what I would like to say is to our graduates, to our young people, celebrate your youth. Celebrate your youth. Look at verse number 9, chapter 11. The Bible says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. He says, cheer up, young man, in thy youth. He says, be happy, young man, in thy youth. He says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. In other words, the preacher, the teacher is telling the young students to rejoice in your youth. He's saying, celebrate life when you're young. This isn't a time to be sad. This isn't a time to be discouraged and depressed. He says, cheer up. Be happy. Celebrate. You're only going to be young once. I have witnessed with my own eyes. We have dealt with this in our house that our young people are up against so much in the time and day in which we live. There's the pressure of school and schoolwork and the social aspect of being a young person and friends and the dating scene and, you know, all of those things. And then there's bullying and, you know, failing at grades and trying to keep them up. There's stresses at home and stresses with mom and dad and stresses that our young people see mom and dad dealing with. And it's just, we have seen our kids, I have seen many kids just stressed to the max. But the Bible tells us, the great teacher, the great preacher, he says, young person, rejoice. And I want to tell our graduates this morning, you may have things going on in your life that aren't pleasant. You may have challenges. Life may not be exactly unfolding the way you want it to outside of your graduation. I say, rejoice. Rejoice over this graduation. You've worked hard and you've been diligent. You've been consistent and you have just been steadfast, unmovable. And you've had support and you've had love. And there may have been some who said they will never make it. But I want to say, look who stood here this morning. They made it. They made it. Young person, graduate, middle-aged person even this morning, older person. Listen, let us all rejoice that we're still alive and we're breathing and we got a God who loves us. But he speaks to the young person here and he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. I want to say under this first point, celebrate your youth by rejoicing, that you are to enjoy your young life. Enjoy, not just rejoice, but enjoy your young life. Look what he says. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. What does that mean? Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee. He's saying here, enjoy your young life. Let your heart be led with cheer. Young person, do you have a cheerful heart this morning? Is your heart being led with cheer? Or is your heart being led with fear? Is your heart being led with cheer? Is there happiness in your heart? Is there solace in your soul? Do those things belong to you this morning? Is your heart being led with cheer? The Bible says, let thy heart cheer thee. I want to say, when it comes to letting your heart cheer thee, and in order to have a heart that is led with cheer and to have a happy heart, put yourself around people and things that will cheer you up. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to, and that's applicable to anybody of any age. If we want to have a happy heart and we want to move forward with cheer, make sure that we are around the right kind of people and the right kind of things. Be around people that will cheer you up. Be around things that will cheer you up. I'm talking about wholesome things, innocent in nature things, And listen, I know we can't just isolate ourselves from people that are troubled and people that rub off on us the wrong way and people like that, the negative people, we can't isolate from them. But you can choose who you allow in your circle. You can choose. Be happy-hearted. Put yourself around people and things that will cheer you up. The writer says, let thy heart cheer thee. Let thy heart cheer thee. I want to say that we need to be cautious at the same time with our hearts. He says, let thy heart cheer thee. Let thy heart be led with cheer. Be happy-hearted. Enjoy your life. But be cautious when you go to enjoy your life now and being happy-hearted. Be cautious with your heart. Proverbs chapter number 4, make your way there for just a moment. Proverbs 4 verse 23. Solomon is calling attention to the young heart and he says, let thy heart cheer thee. Be happy-hearted. Enjoy your young life, but do it cautiously. Proverbs 4, verse 23. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I want to say that we all have a heart problem. And everything that we deal with, and the people we come in contact with, and the situations that we're in life, our reactions, our emotions, it comes from the heart. It comes from the depths of our soul. And so we've got to, while our young people are celebrating their youth and they're enjoying their young lives and they're being led with a happy heart, they're also being cautious. But let us all be cautious when we're in our pursuit for happiness. Because out of the heart come the issues of life. We need to set a watch upon our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. In these verses, he deals with the lips. Verse 24. Verse 25, he deals with the eyes. Verse 26, he deals with the feet. Verse 27, he deals with the hands. And so I want to say, be careful. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little lips, what you say, and the feet where you go, and the hands what you do. Things come from the heart. Enjoy life. Be young. But make sure you're cautionate at the same time. Because this is the now, but there is coming a later. So keep your heart, guard your heart, put a watch on your heart, be diligent at watching your heart, because out of it are the issues of life. Back to Ecclesiastes, if you would, chapter 11. He says, celebrate your youth, rejoice, enjoy your young lives, but then I want to say to the young people, reach for the stars. Notice what else he says in verse number 9 of chapter 11. Ecclesiastes, he says, in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. The sight of thine eyes. What is he talking about? I believe he is in the vein of celebration for our young people. He's saying, I want you to rejoice. Then he says, I want you to enjoy your young lives, but I want you to reach for the stars. In other words, he says here, what's in your heart to do? Walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. What's in your young heart to do, I believe, is what he's getting at. What kind of dreams and aspirations do you have, Solomon is saying. He's saying, let thy heart cheer thee, but then walk in the ways of thy heart. What is it in your heart that you feel like God wants you to do? Walk in the ways of thine heart. Walk in the ways of thine heart. And in the sight of thine eyes, what do you envision yourself doing in your careers? I'm going to sound like they always sound and used to sound when it comes to careers and teachers talking about careers. Dream big if you want to be an astronaut. If you want to walk on the moon, dream big, go for it. If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a surgeon, go for it. If you want to run for president, God bless you, but go for it. Dream big. Young person, what's in your heart? I remember when I was young. I'm on the later end of young now. But I remember when I was young, I wanted to play for the Braves, Brother Allen. I did. Wanted to play for the Braves. And to make a long story short, and just to make a simple point here, I got saved when I was 20. I started working out, and I got down to 185 pounds. I mean, I was running it out on the treadmill. I was getting ready, Brother Larry, to walk on the field in Florida and try out for the Braves at 20 years old. Not the Mets, but the Braves. Okay? But God had other plans. I met Christy, and which led us down a path together of wanting ministry. God called us into ministry. It's not Christy's fault that I don't pray for the Braves. We joke about that sometimes. I mean, listen, if that's what God wanted me to do, couldn't nothing stop it. Dream big. You want to play a professional sport? Hey, listen, be a Christian on that large platform. You want to be a doctor, you want to be an astronaut, you want to whatever, you dream big. What's in your heart? If you say there's nothing in my heart, get a dream. Dream a little. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We have a lot of people perishing today individually because they have no dreams or goals. It's just a daily grind, and it's day after day, routine after routine. Listen, we're living in the now, but we need to think about the later as well. Dream big. Shoot for the stars. Reach for the stars. What is it in your heart to do? The writer says here again, walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Celebrate your youth. Rejoice. Enjoy and reach. But number two, under celebrate your youth, not only rejoice, but recognize. Notice what he says. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Let your heart be led by cheer. Do what's in your heart. Enjoy your young life. Rejoice. Reach for the stars. But recognize choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. He says here again, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Choices we make now will have consequences now, but also later. Listen, it's not, well, Brother Justin, they've got to sow their wild oats and they'll be okay. Listen, no, that's not biblical. Where in the Bible does it say it's okay to go crazy for a season? But the Bible teaches about the law of sowing and reaping, and there is truly a law of sowing and reaping. We'll always sow exactly, we'll always reap exactly what we sow, later than we sow, and more than we sow. Galatians 6:9 says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not." You reap good you sow good things, you'll reap good things. You sow bad things, you'll reap bad things. I'm reaping things, Brother Ceylon, now that I sowed back before I got saved. I have thoughts and images in my head of the party life and fights I used to get into. And listen, I'm anti-bully, but I was a bully. I was a bully. And I'm so ashamed to even say this. I just give God praise that my sins are gone and that life is different and hopefully those people are okay. That I used to just fight. Beat up. You know, I think it was just yesterday when I was in my study and I was looking out the window and studying this, and boom, all of a sudden, an image came to my mind back in the day before salvation at the pool hall one night when there was an ugly altercation, an ugly fight. I did a lot of wrong things. And all of a sudden, I found myself having to captivate that thought and bring it into captivity and say, "No, devil, I'm not that guy anymore. And I'm so sorry what I did, but that's not me anymore. It's not me." Has anybody else ever had to do that? You're just going through your day, and I mean, listen, you're singing, "Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe," and all that, and all of a sudden, "Why are you singing that song, sinner?" And then sometimes the devil gets really quiet and says, "Remember how you broke their heart? Remember what you said? You shouldn't be allowed to open that Bible and preach." I'm talking about real spiritual warfare. And I'm sure you already said it. You know what I'm saying is true. You know what I'm saying is true this morning. And so therefore, I have to recognize, young people, you recognize, everybody, let us come together and recognize that choices have consequences now and then even later. One day we're going to have to stand before God and give an account to what we've done in our flesh. Now, this won't determine heaven. If you're already saved, you're going there. But we will be judged according to what we did with our time and what we did with our talents and the motivation of our heart, how we operated in life. We will either gain reward or lose reward. I preached a few Wednesday nights ago on the parable of the 10 virgins, and there was a part in that story, Matthew 25, verse number 7, where the Bible says that they all trimmed their lamps. They trimmed their lamps. You see, there were 10 virgins, and 5 had oil in their lamps. The other 5 did not have any oil, and they were preparing for the wedding day. And listen, they were to have their lamps filled with oil, and so there's a certain part in that story where it says, and they all trimmed their lamps. You see, if you've ever seen a candle burn or a real lamp that has a wick, that flame can get almost down to the bottom, and that which was once a big flame is now a little flame about to go out. But if you grab something, some scissors, if you trim it, that flame can grow brighter. And you see, it's important now, if you have the Holy Ghost, if you are saved by the grace of God, you walk with Jesus, Listen, there are times where we need to trim our wicks. We need to trim our lamps. It may have been some bad decisions we've made. It may have be a current situation we're in. But I want to say this, that Jesus is coming back one day. And it's not, will I go to heaven? I know I'm going to heaven. But when He comes, I want to be ready. And I want to have my lamp burning bright. I want my garments to be white. I want to be found faithful in Him. This morning, young person, if you're not saved, you need some oil in your life. You need the Holy Ghost of God to regenerate you. You need salvation. If you're not saved, you need salvation. The Holy Ghost of God will take His abode in your heart, and you will have oil to help illuminate the pathway that you're on in your life. Some of our young people, I've seen it in the Christian schools, I've seen it, you know, just with young people in general, public schools, whatever. Some just look so lost, misguided. And I really think that some I've talked to personally, back from the school, you know, have home problems and not being taught the word at home. And to be quite honest, a lot of parents put their kids in Christian schools so that they can learn the Bible and hopefully be raised by the teachers. But that's not the goal there. But they don't have no brightness in their life. They don't have no light that's guiding them. They need Jesus to come in and illuminate their heart and give them light and life, and that oil, that Holy Ghost, will wrap them up in His love and pour love in their hearts and draw them close in. And you'll find a young person that was once walking around like this, but now they got saved and they're walking around like this. Mom and dad hasn't changed. Nobody else around them have changed, but they have gotten saved. They have the oil of the Holy Ghost. So, there may be someone here this morning, not even a young person, middle-aged, older person. It's just darkness in your life. You don't know Jesus. Come and receive the oil. But the other five virgins, they had oil. And yet they were called to trim their wicks because they're light. And so, believers this morning, we're called to trim our wicks. Young person, that's saved, what is it in your life that is bothering you and hurting you and hindering you? Middle-aged, older person, same question. Guess what? Cut it out. Cut it out. I'm just generally speaking. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, entangle us. And let us run the race that's set before us with patience. Listen, we need to trim our wicks this morning. Now let me hurry along here. Not only young people, celebrate your youth, rejoice, enjoy your lives, reach for the stars, rejoice, but recognize choices have consequences. There's a second thing I want to mention. When it comes to the now and the later, not only celebrate your youth, but control your youth. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 11. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He says, therefore remove. Therefore remove. In other words, I feel like in order to truly let your heart cheer thee and walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of thine eyes honestly and wholesomely before God, there needs to be some removal. We just kind of touched on that about the wicks, but more in detail, he says, remove sorrow from your heart. Control your youth. Control your life, young person. Remove sorrow. Worldly sorrows that have made you, worldly things that have made your heart sorrowful, remove it. Any sorrow that has been created due to carnality or independent thinking separate from God, remove it. Remove it. He says, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. Remove sorrow from thy heart. I say this, cheer up, my brother. Walk in the sunshine. That's an excerpt from a song I believe we'll understand better by and by. Cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my sister. And live in the sunshine. Remove sorrow from thy heart. Now, turn over, if you would, to 1 John. I do want to mention something here. 1 John chapter number 1. Thought I had it marked. My apologies. 1 John 1. I'm there. 1 John 1, notice this, verse 4. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. What things is he talking about? He's getting ready to talk about them. John says, I have handled the Word of God. I have seen God. I have seen Jesus, and I have fellowshipped with Him, and I have the words of life. He says, verse number 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I don't believe. Listen, none of us are perfect. None of us have achieved perfection. He's not talking about that here. He is speaking to the children of God, those who are saved, who have trusted Jesus, my little children. But what he's talking about here, I believe, it's me saying this, Justin, that I believe he's talking about someone who has no desire to walk in the light. Someone who habitually, continually, and listen, we have people today that says that they're Christians and they walk in darkness. We have people that says they've been saved by the grace of God, and they make their beds in sin. Don't get me wrong, none of us are perfect. Ask my wife, ask my daughter, ask my dog. I'm not perfect. I weep and I sorrow when I sin. I know my sins are gone, but it burdens me when I fail God. One way to know that you're saved is that you just can't live life any old way and get by. You have a Father that will discipline and scourge if He has to. You have a Father. Listen, if we have fathers on earth that discipline, and we have parents on earth that want to know where we're at, that says, hey, there's a curfew, says, hey, you need to be here at this time. You know we have a Heavenly Father that does the same. Justin, God speaking to me, you know what I expect out of you, son. You know where I want you to be. You know what I want you to do. And if you do these things, I'm telling you, the blessings are going to chase you down. And I will be with you, and I will protect you, and I will use you. But you see, I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. And when I do those things I'm not supposed to, God says, son, get over here. Now, the worst thing I can do when God says, son, get over here, is leave me alone. You ever try to console a child, a young person, and they messed up? And come on, let's talk about it. No, get away from it. They're dealing with the failure. They're dealing with the grief of it. But the worst thing a child of God can do is say, get away from me, God. I don't deserve your love. Now, that's part of our thinking at times, and we certainly don't deserve his love. I can remember when I first got saved and I used to fail God, I told God to take me home. I mean, you know, hey, being quite honest here, I said, God, kill me. I said, you come down and take me up there. I'm not endorsing you to pray that prayer, say that. That was me. But I just couldn't come to terms. I could not figure out how to live for God and manage sin. And over 20 years later, I'm still trying to figure it out, Brother Larry. How in the world can I live for God and deal with this flesh? Little by little, God shows me. And here's how. Here's how. When I sin, I have an advocate with the Father who pleads my case, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the propitiation, the satisfaction for my sin. I don't have to say, oh, get away from me, God, I don't deserve you. Yeah, those feelings at one time in my life were there and they controlled me, but now it's like, thank God you're my advocate. Thank God you're my Savior. Father, I am sorry that I sinned. I'm sorry that I dropped the ball. I want to walk with you. I want to walk in the sunshine. I want to feel your warmth. I want to be used by you. That's what I've learned in 20 years of salvation. It's taken 20 years to learn for Justin to get over Justin. And I'm still learning how to get over Justin. It's not about Justin this morning. When I sin, it's not about Justin. When I sin, it's about Jesus. This morning, it's not about Justin preaching. It's about Jesus and Justin getting out of the way and letting Jesus use Justin. You come this morning because it ain't about you, but it's about you hearing from God. You want God to speak to you. It's all about Him. So this morning, we are to remove sorrow from our heart. Verse 7 of 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, with Jesus and with fellow believers. There's been controversy over that statement, and that is kind of a hard statement to actually interpret. But at the end of the day, we have fellowship with God, and we will have fellowship with one another. Those who are like-minded and who are walking in the light will have fellowship with God, and we'll have fellowship with those who walk in the light. You want to know why some people won't have fellowship with you and me? Because you're walking in the light. Oh, I just don't see why he won't change. He don't like me. I don't see why she won't be my friend. She won't like me. All I'm doing is going to church and trying to live right. Well, that's exactly right. You're walking in the light as He's in the light. People who walk in the light don't take up company with those walking in darkness. I'm not saying be rude, be high-minded, be condescending, nothing like that. I'm just saying that there's nothing in common. Nothing in common. Walk in the light. Cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my sister. Let sorrow escape your young heart. Whether it's from worldly sorrow, any kind of sorrow created due to carnality or independent thinking, just let it go and walk in the light and feel His warm embrace. Back to our verses this morning, Ecclesiastes 11, verse number 10. Not only control your youth, speaking of sorrow, but control your youth, speaking of evil. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. You know, one of the best ways to get rid of a besetting sin, a sin that is always around you, easily to fall to, you know, one of the best ways to get over that is make not provision for it. I love this illustration because it's me all day long. I struggle with cake, okay? I do. Okay, don't look at me like that. I do. And not just cake, but food. And my weight, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. So you can imagine my closet goes from one extreme to the next. Biggin', littlin'. And then there's somewhere in the middle where I have to figure out what to wear. But you know what I try not to do? I try not to buy cake and sit on the counter. Now, my flesh might say, when I'm walking through Publix in the bakery section, hey, I see you. Huh, Christy? Okay, I'm coming. You ready to check out, honey? Yeah, let's check out. You know what? You go ahead and check out. I'll be right there. Yeah, one item. That red velvet cake. And then all of a sudden I go to the car and I pop the trunk, put it in there. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. And I get the cake. Go home. Christy busted me. She says, "What is that?" I said, "It's a cake." I said, "I'm not." She said, "You know, you don't need that." Oh, I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to look at it. Church, I want to tell you, I have all the power in the world when it's daylight. But there's something crazy when night falls. I'm like a werewolf. It starts growing in fingers. And I'm like peeking around the kitchen. Everybody's asleep. And finally, one thing I've learned, I can't do that on Saturday night. Because Sunday morning, up in here trying to preach with a belly full of cake. And so I sit there and I'm like, yeah. And then I've just set myself back because I can't just have a piece of it. I got to have almost all of it. Listen, I know that was silly, but what I'm saying is remove any stumbling block, anything that will set you back. He said, evil, he says here. He says, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from your flesh. The best way to do it is don't make provision for it. This is graduation Sunday, so you know I'm going to bring it up because we're dealing with young people. Cell phones. Okay, Claudia, they didn't put a red heart on my page. They did so and so. We go to church together. They gave them a thumbs up. They gave them a red heart, but they gave me a thumbs up. What are they saying about me? What are they talking about? Christy, have you heard anything? It's worse. I mean, for young people, I mean, I can't believe they have that on their page. I can't believe they said that about me. I can't believe this. I can't believe that. Look, I know someone said cell phones are necessary evil. There's nothing necessary about evil this morning. Make no provision for it. If you can't live for Jesus with a cell phone, then you need to go back to the payphone. If you can find one. Amen. We could go on and on about that. Just control your youth. Control it. Sorrow and evil. Let me mention this and we'll be through. Give me about 5 more minutes. Connect your youth. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Connect, meaning connect to God. In your youth. One commentator said, that phrase, remember now thy creator. He says, think about God. Young person, I know you've been thinking about God since you have been at CCH, and since other young people, you've been thinking about God when you've been up under your parents' wings. But typically what happens is, not with all young people, but some, statistically, when they graduate, a lot of them leave church and don't go back. Don't go back. And so I'm thankful for the young people that we have been raised right, have the foundation in the things of God instilled in them. But still, connect with Jesus. Just because you've graduated now, you need to connect with Jesus even more. We're talking about college for some. We're talking about careers and the workforce. And mom and dad won't always be able to come and bail you out of your hard circumstances. That's what we've been training you for so many years. Is to know God and do right and work hard and persevere. Remember now, young person, your creator. In the days of thy youth, notice what he says, while the evil days come not. The evil days come not. Meaning, evil days, meaning afflictions, troubles. How about this? Grown-up problems. Grown-up days. Evil affliction, evil troubles. Grown-up problems even. Remember God now, because you're getting ready to face some grown-up problems. Young person, you ready for that? Start paying that rent? You ready to start paying that mortgage if you get a house? You got a job that can pay for it? Brother Berman used to always say this, if your upkeep is more than your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. When you start out your young life, start small. All of these, listen, people in our days is publicized on TV and social media. You've got to have a brand new car. You've got to have the biggest house. No, because debt comes with that. I want to tell you that I didn't deserve a first car. My grandma and grandpa bought it for me. Chevrolet Celebrity. I think it was like a 1990 wrecked on all four sides. It's no reflection on them. I mean, they knew the life I was living. They wouldn't give me a new car. I wasn't saved and out all night. But now, after all these years and hard work and chasing God and doing things right, of course, you know, getting saved shortly after I got that car, I appreciate what we now have. You got to crawl before you walk, young person. Listen, do not be ashamed if you're driving a car that's wrecked on all four sides. Because on the back of mine, I said, real men love Jesus. I put a sticker on it. My brother first got saved, put a sticker on it. I was lost. I took the sticker off. I got saved and put the sticker back on. I was riding around the window down, my arm out. You know, real men love Jesus. And I bet you're thinking, does he love you? Come on and trust Jesus. He'll bless you real good. Guess what I can say, Brother Larry, after all these years? He taught me some things, brother. And I appreciate what I got. I love washing that truck out there and Christy's car. And I got to hurry. I got to wrap this up. But you know, when you've been through some things and you've tithed and trusted God with your income and you've watched God give it right back to you. Oh, I'm telling you, I dare to say this, but I think I could be just as happy in that celebrity right now. I know I could, because I've learned some things, but I want to keep the truck. Connect your youth. Remember now. Come on, Brother Allen. I'm trying to quit. The evil days come not. Times of affliction. He says this, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What is he talking about? He's talking about old age. You go back and you read, he talks about the keepers of the house shall tremble, the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they're few. Talking about missing teeth. Talking about the windows be darkened, vision trouble. The door shall be shut in the streets. The sound of the grinders is low. Hearing problems. Verse 4, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of the music shall be brought low. And verse number 5, it says about fears and being afraid. Verse 6, he's talking about the silver cord, or he's talking about, really, this is the loss of life. The cord is cut. The cord is cut. And then he ends with verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. If you know him, of course. But listen, in conclusion, I say this. Keep connecting to God in your youth, because there's coming a time. Listen, you're going to go off into this world and you're going to hear every kind of belief there is, if you haven't already. You're going to be confronted with atheists. You're going to be confronted with Gnostics. You're going to be confronted with just people with just big old egos that think that they, you know, threw the moon and the stars into position. Got to know who you believe and why you believe what you believe. Do that now while your heart is tender and you're young. Maybe you're here this morning and you're older and you've heard all of the beliefs out there and you've tasted what the world has to offer and you found none of it to be true or fulfilling. Maybe you need to come this morning and just connect with God. Again, this message isn't just for the young people. It's for all of us. Remember God now. Accept his salvation. Learn he is faithful. Learn now he will stick with you till the end. Connect your youth. Control your youth. Celebrate your youth. The message this morning is the now and the later. Just want you to start thinking about later now. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. I pray in the next few moments that you would just move and give liberty during this time of invitation. Save the lost and bless the saved is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come, if you want to come, you come. On the very first verse, whatever we're playing or singing, you come. Come now. Come and pray with somebody. Let us have an altar team together. If you need to come.
I love you, Lord.
Anybody?
For your mercy never fails me.
How are things going now for you?
And all my days I've been held in your hand.
Are you unsure about later?
The moment that
start now. Follow God now. Give it to God now.
Until I lay my head.
Come on down.
I will sing of the goodness.
We'll have to deal with it now or later. Now or later. Are you saved?
And all my life you have been faithful.
Yes.
And all my life you have been so, so good.
Remove sorrow from your heart.
That I am able.
Give your sorrows to God this morning.
I will sing of the
goodness. You're young. Enjoy your young life. We're so proud of you, young people.
I love your
all of you, every last one of you. We're so proud. We love you.
You have led me through the fire and the darkest night.
Yes.
You are close like no other.
Come on, brother.
I've known you as a father.
Anybody else?
I've known you as a friend. I have lived the goodness, O God.
We're all in this together.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Do you know you're saved this morning?
And all my life you have been so, so good.
If you are saved, are you walking right? You may just want to come and praise Jesus this morning. God's been good.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Has he been faithful to you? Amen.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
still singing and playing while these are here.
And all my life you have been faithful.
Anybody else? Don't worry about the time.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing the goodness of God.
We're being mindful of these that are down here this morning, and thank you for those who have come, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Remember, CLU will be at 4 o'clock to church time 5, also men's prayer meeting, if you can make it. If you can, no pressure, nothing like that at all. We understand people are coming and going. I haven't publicized that a lot, so it's totally fine. We understand. We certainly understand. But we're just going to, it's been a while since us men have met, and I wanted to extend it beyond just the deacons, but to the men of the church, if you can make it. We're just going to, we'll share our hearts if there's something to share, but just have a time of prayer together, which will lead us up to church time. Remember that. Okay, no choir practice. Then we'll get something together, and just have a great afternoon. Everybody be safe, and we love you. The Lord loves you. All right, anything else to mention? I think that's it. Okay, that's it.
What? I'm just going to remind everybody our donation jar is up at the front.
Donation jar for the OCC Operation Christmas Child. If you want to be part of that, then there's a donation jar, and also remember 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon if you want to be part of that in person. All right? Okay. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer, and everyone have a great afternoon. Brother Ceylon, would you close us out?